Tonight's special guest on the Legends of Greyhound Hockey, joining us on the phone from Livonia, Michigan, we want to welcome Huey Larkin. Welcome, Huey, to the broadcast.
Hi, Spanky. How are you today?
Oh, we're doing fine up in the Sioux. Boy, I tell you, the Greyhound fans certainly anxious to hear Huey Larkin. Haven't heard from you in many, many years. A Greyhound back in way back 1979-80 was your first season. I'm sure the fans remember that tall, lanky, rugged forward with the curly blonde hair. And how often do we hear the chant Huey, Huey, Huey here at Memorial Gardens? Talk about that becoming a Sioux Greyhound.
Well, I'll tell you what, it was very exciting because there are, in my opinion, three or four hockey hotbeds in the United States, being Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, and New York, and then you can add the whole state of Minnesota because they're like a separate entity unto themselves and very good. But you'll notice that there's a lot of players in the NHL or in the AHL that do come from the Detroit area, and we have an excellent AAA system here, which I grew up in.
Right, you come out of that minor league system down in the Detroit area, Livonia. Played a little bit of junior hockey in Windsor. Were seen by the Greyhounds, drafted in 1979 in the third round to the Sioux. You made your way up to the Sioux. Talk about that first season up as a Sioux Greyhound, Huey.
Yes. Well, it's very odd. And back in 79-80, I don't think there was maybe one American, maybe two. And then when I was drafted to the Sioux Greyhounds, it was something very unusual that I had never heard of. My father was born in Detroit, Michigan, and he married my mother, who grew up in Windsor, Ontario. So I have dual citizenship just from, my birth.
Right.
For those who don't have very much geography of Detroit and Windsor, it's separated just by the Detroit River. And if you're on the banks of the Windsor side of the Detroit River, you're looking straight at Detroit. And if you're on the Detroit side of the river, you're looking straight at Windsor, Ontario. So it's kind of an interesting fact that Windsor is the only Canadian city south of its American counterpart.
You talk about your first season, Huey. As a Greyhound, you played 59 games, 10 goals, 12 assists, 22 points, 123 penalty minutes. Some of the players, Gatsos, Terry, Doug Shedden, Tony Buderak, Paul Coffey, Dirk Reuter, Latta were some of the players. Terry Crisp was the coach on that team.
Yeah.
You moved on the second season. The team did quite well, Huey. Finished first in that Leyden division, defeated the Oshawa Generals in a point series in the semifinals, defeated the Kingston Canadians in the finals, and then unfortunately lost to the Kitchener Rangers 9-3 in that final. But boy, that was an exceptional team. Talk about year number two, that Greyhound team that you were a part of.
Oh yeah, it was fantastic because our first year when I came from Windsor to Sault Ste. Marie, we were a last place team. It was Terry Crisp's first year. We did have Paul Coffey, who had played the season before. And I think the year before I came, Wayne Gretzky was with Coffey also, and a couple other good NHL players. And when I showed up, everybody was gone, and we were all new and not very much experienced. So we were kind of the doormat of the league my first season. But we retained everybody. Terry Crisp made some good drafts, and Sam McMaster, and some great trades. And we just really became competitive. If I recall, I think at the Christmas break, we were like 20 or 25 points ahead of our nearest competitor. So we were quite confident. But unfortunately, our team's bane, the Kitchener Rangers, stuck it in our craw in the finals of my second season.
Huey, tell us about your relationship with Coach Terry Crisp. He was a very fiery coach, very competitive. Talk a little bit about Coach Crisp.
I'm going to tell you something very interesting and a bit secretive and something I've never talked about before. Again, I told you my mother was Canadian, and so my uncle suggested to me, now that you aged out of midgets, come over here and play Junior B. And, you know, who knows where you might go from there, you know? I'm sure he was thinking of the OHL, but I had never really heard of it at that time, you know, just being 16 and just getting my driver's license. So I was driving back and forth to Windsor almost every day in my junior year of high school. Anyways, we had a great season there, and then I imagine there was a bunch of OHL scouts, and my Windsor Royals team did win our championship, so I had a lot of exposure, and I imagine that's why I got drafted so well. Now, I was a third-round draft pick in 1979 when literally 2 weeks after I got drafted, my mother had a terrible mental illness, and she committed suicide. So I was coming to camp, so between June and I think camp started in August, I pretty much was just a crying mess.
Wow.
The 17-year-old boy, you know, getting ready to go to, thinking he's a man ready to go to Canada where he's never been before and not sure what's going to happen. And then I got to the camp, and I was a really good player in this area, but I didn't realize how good the OHL was. And being a third-round draft pick, you know, I had a little going-away party with my friends. And I says, okay, guys, I'll see you at the end of the hockey season, you know.
Right.
And I'm getting halfway through the camp of my first year, and I'm like, OMG, if I don't start, you know, playing better or doing something for Chris to notice me, I'm going to get cut and sent home with, you know, with my tail between my legs, and I can't have that.
Right.
Well, it was just until I could learn to upgrade my talent and to play better positionally. I had, you know, and I wasn't a big goal scorer ever. So I just had to use what assets I had, and that was my big size, and I was a good skater. And I used my personal anger over what happened to my mom. And whenever it upset me and welled up inside me, I was always happy to oblige somebody in a fist fight, whether I won or lost. Unfortunately, that was very difficult for my whole life, and it's kind of carried me around, followed me around. So Terry Criffs knew this happened to me, and he talked to my dad secretly, and so Angelo Bumbaco was the one that drafted me, I believe. And he talked to my dad also, and he said, okay, we're going to watch your son really closely. We know he's going to, you know, be under a lot of mental stress, and, you know, we're going to put him in a home that's just like a mom and dad's home that, you know, he probably came from, or very similar. I didn't know all this happened. And my first year, I boarded with the McNally family, Paul and Corona McNally, and they had a nice daughter, very young, like 5 years old at the time, Michelle. And I imagine she's a young woman right now, probably working for the government. She went to a French English school up there in Sault Ste. Marie, and she was so intelligent. So I was interested to see her. And then after that, my second year, we had that great team that lost to Kitchener in the OHL finals. I moved for my last 2 years with the Davey family. They were my billets, Fred and Bertie Davey. Now, Bertie Davey's real name is Burden, and she always liked her own name, but she didn't like anybody to call her that. So if you were her friend, you had to call her Bertie, because if you called her Burden, you know, she, you knew that.
Yep.
I knew her. She knew that you weren't acquainted very well with her. So that was a great family, and they had two young daughters that were our age. They went to that Dunn's High School, I believe it was.
Sir James Dunn, yes.
Yes, and I went to, since I was a good Catholic boy, I went to the academy there. What's the Catholic academy there?
St. Mary's. St. Mary's.
Yes. I hadn't graduated from grade 12 here in the United States, so I had to do that here. And so living with the McNally family was very good for my overall well-being. I didn't realize it at the time, but now that I look back on 2020 vision, Corona McNally and Paul McNally were literally my replacement mom and dad. I mean, people always say that, you know, living with a family, and it's kind of true. And I found that with the McNallys, and I found that with the Davey family. And even though I lost touch with the McNallys, and I'm sure they're still around there, probably active in the community, but I stayed in touch with the Davey family probably for 20 years until they just recently died last year. and one of their daughters still lives there. And oh, Joanne Goodwin married our superstar John Goodwin.
Right.
And so the Joanne Davey was her name, maiden name, obviously. And so I used to see John a lot around my billet house, and I billeted with Mario Michelli my second year at the Davey house, and then we traded for Jim Pavese. Mario got traded to Kitchener in that second year, and we got Jim Pavese, and Jim took Mario's spot in our bedroom I shared with Mario, and I was good friends with Mario for a year, and then I ended up being really good friends with Jim Pavese for 2 years, who ended up making it to the NHL himself.
Well, that's awesome. These interviews, there's never enough time. The stories are so great. Huey, you, your third season, 60 games with the Hounds, 18 goals, 34 assists, 52 points. Again, 155 minutes and penalties. I remember you well. Crowd favorite here at the Memorial Gardens with your aggressive play here. Now you got a good explanation of what you had inside of yourself. That fourth season, Huey, you played a half a season here with the Hounds, and eventually moved to the Sudbury Wolves in a trade at mid-season. He had 25 games in, 6 goals, 5 assists, 11 points with the Hounds that season. You moved on to Sudbury to finish out your OHL career in 82-83. One of the good things drafted by the Toronto Maple Leafs, your fifth round pick in the 95 draft of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Talk about your play after junior hockey, maybe with the Leafs, and eventually moving on to getting a national championship with the York Yeomen. Talk about that.
Yes. So I was, after I aged out of my overage year in Sudbury, what had happened was my two best years, well, I thought I had a good all 3 years in the Sault Ste. Marie. And I, always improved on my point total. And we had so many good players like Ron Francis and Shedden, Gatsos, Buderak, Dirk Ruder, Steve Smith, guys that were big and tough, but mostly had a lot of finesse and talent. And when back in that time period was, the period of the Broad Street Bullies, and everybody looked to Fred Shiro and the Philadelphia Flyers about how they bullied, the Russians and won the Canadian Cup and those series and such. And so that was very that style of play was very much permeating my second 2 years. And I just kind of took it upon myself to use that anger positively, if that makes sense. It doesn't.
Yeah.
And just, if anybody went after Francis, anybody went after Shedden or Gatsos, Buderak, anybody, myself and my good pal and off-ice and on-ice partner, Ken Latta, who I have stayed in touch with practically my whole life. He's a coach in Germany right now. But me and him were kind of like frickin' frack, and if one couldn't finish the bout, the other guy would step in and help.
Yeah, no question about it. Huey, we got to wind this up here pretty quick. Just share quickly a funny story that that happened with the Greyhounds for the Greyhound listeners.
Okay. The one funny thing I can remember was my second year, and I'd moved from the McNally house over to the Davey house. And again, I was living with Mario Michelli the first half of the season, and I think he got traded at Christmas time. So anyways, we were doing well that second year, and I remember we had a home game at the Sioux Memorial Gardens, and we always went out and had a dinner and a couple pops, with the team, and then we would all have, Chris would give us a curfew of like midnight or 1 a.m., and he would check on us once in a while. Anyways, I got home just in time for a curfew call, and everybody was asleep, even my roommate. And so they had a finished basement, and all the bedrooms were upstairs, so I went downstairs, and at that time, AC/DC was very popular, and they just came out with a new album called Hell's Bells.
Yep.
And that one song, it started the album, bong, bong, very loud.
Yep.
And so I put the headphones on, and I stuck the jack into the stereo. I dropped the needle on that song, Hell's Bells, right? And it's, again, remember, it's 12:30 in the morning, and it's just ringing through the whole house. And I'm sitting on a beanbag chair, like half asleep,
yeah,
with my eyes closed, you know, staring at the ceiling, and it's just going bong, bong. And then all of a sudden, my headphones went dead, and I'm popping my eyes. I says, what did I do? Did I break something? And Joanne Davey came down, and I says, and she just snapped it, you know, snapped it off, the whole unit. And I said, Joanne, I was whispering, I said, Joanne, was that just on through the whole house? Yes. She says to me, it just stormed.
That's
the next day, I never heard the end of it. You know, Mr. and Mrs. Davey and Joanne and Sharon and Mario, they all gave me heck. So it was that. That was just a funny, enjoyable story off ice. I really loved the Sault Ste. Marie, and it was my second home. I only lived away from Livonia, Michigan, for 6 years, and that was four in northern Ontario and two in Toronto with the York Yeomen, where I won a national championship with some other ex OHL players. So very great. Canada's treated me so well, and I'm so proud to have a dual citizenship and be both Canadian and American.
Well, that's awesome, Huey. On behalf of the Greyhound fans up here in the Sioux, you were a fan favorite up here in the Sioux. We thank you for the memories. I remember you well. I remember that blonde curly hair flying up the ice, smashing into whatever got in the way. And I really thank you for this. Unfortunately, there's not enough time to talk forever, but we appreciate you doing this interview. Thanks a lot, Huey.
Okay, Spanky, thank you so much for inviting me. This was so much fun.